Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So anytime you've got, you know, full contact football taking place, you have the risk of a little bit of an injury situation. And apparently over the weekend, that's what Georgia is dealing with. No way to know, you know, how serious this is going to be and, you know, in terms of impact on the fall. But Dog Nation, our buddy Mike Griffith did report over the weekend that Georgia running back Kenny McIntosh is going to miss spring practice, the remainder of spring, Mike says, because of an elbow injury that he sustained. McIntosh did share a photo of this on his Instagram feed of himself and the elbow injury there. He was obviously disappointed about that, and you can certainly understand all of that. And where that kind of leads you with is a couple of things here. First of all, and listen, I don't take pleasure in saying this, but it's obviously true, and it has always been obviously true, that a lot of Georgia fans would look at the situation with Georgia at running back and say, oh my gosh, there are too many running backs. You've got James Cook and you've got Zamir White. They're coming back as seniors. You've got Kendall Milton. He's about to be a sophomore. We want to see more of him. And Kenny McIntosh, when people have seen flashes of him, they say, wow, he has a chance to be a really dynamic player, and I'd like to see more of him. And then Dejon Edwards gets his moments near the end of last season, in late in games especially, and Edwards really looked pretty good to me for a true freshman. You'd like to see more of him. And there's all these running backs that people want to see more of, and when you've got as many seemingly good ones as Georgia does, there's this fear that there's going to be an odd man out, there's going to be somebody who doesn't get as many carries as obviously that player wants, or maybe the more objective analysis may say that player needs, and it can seem kind of like a little bit of a problem. But as I've said before, listen, these things when it comes to a running back position, because it is a position that challenges your durability. It is a position where injuries are just a factor. They just kind of always have been, and they kind of always will be. Because of that, you know, the notion that you have too many good running backs, the season has a way of challenging that notion. The season has a way of making you glad you've got each and every one of them. So honestly, I'm not a doctor. I have no idea the elbow injury that apparently McIntosh is dealing with, how long that will keep him out beyond spring practice. Mike says it'll be for the remainder of spring practice. But it's just certainly a factor that teams like Georgia are going to deal with. And when McIntosh comes back and he's healthy again in the fall, the odds are at that point in time, somebody else will probably be dealing with something, because that's just kind of the way that it goes with running backs. But there's also this, and I think this is really interesting, that with Georgia now seemingly subtracting a running back off its spring roster, at least in terms of healthy availability that we thought it would have, all of a sudden you now kind of wonder, well, what does this mean for Lavoisier Carroll, the lone running back signee for the class of 2021, who had really a great final season there at IMG Academy down in Bradenton, Florida, but has been working with Georgia with its defensive backs thus far this spring? And in fact, when Georgia released its numbers for freshmen, he was wearing number 12 and Brock Vandegrift was wearing number 12, which seemingly prohibit them from being on the field together at the same time. You can't have that on the same side of the ball at the same time. So it sort of seems like, well, Carroll may really be a defensive back right now. This may be a little bit more of an experiment than you remember two springs ago, the last time Georgia had spring practice when Walter Grant was giving it a shot there at running back. This may seem to be a little bit more substantial in terms of a true experiment than that. So, you know, is there a chance that Georgia now says, well, with McIntosh injured, maybe you need that extra running back in Lavoisier Carroll? I don't necessarily know that's exactly what Georgia's thinking. Prior to the McIntosh injury, when Kirby spoke with reporters last week, he was kind of asked about, hey, how is it going with Carroll at defensive back? And what are you guys thinking about all of that? And Smart gave a pretty interesting answer to exactly why someone with the athleticism of Carroll, someone that Smart says could be a factor on special teams this season, why playing a spot like defensive back might be a valuable place for him. This is actually really good stuff from Kirby Smart. Take a listen to this.
It's experimental. You know, we recruited him as a running back. We're really deep at the running back position. He's probably going to be a factor on our team on special teams because we think he's really fast. He's embraced the position. He's made some good plays. He's had some bad plays. He's not played this position. So to put him out there on some experienced wideouts and some guys who played a lot of football is probably not fair to him. But that's how you grow, and that's how you get better, by failing. And I've been around a lot of good running backs. I've had running backs that I signed, other places I've recruited, that texted me and said, man, I wish I'd played corner based on what these guys are getting paid and how many of them are getting paid in the NFL. The shelf life of a corner is much longer than a back. And there's a lot more corners active in the NFL than backs.
So I have joked about this before, given my athletic history and given just the sort of athletic genes I have imparted on my son, the chances are he will not be sifting through offers from SEC schools in terms of where he wants to play his college football. But if he were, I've always been a believer that the advice I would give him would be to kind of take more of a contrarian approach to your athletic career. In fact, I probably do some of that kind of stuff, you know, with him anyway, at the level, you know, that he actually is, my daughter there as well. You know, the contrarian, you know, idea of every recruit kind of wants to play the most glamorous version of whatever position that he could play, the, you know, kind of the sexiest version of that, right? If there's a choice for an athlete on offense or defense, I mean, you guys read the interviews at dognation.com all the time. All the guys want to play offense, right? If there's a choice between being a cornerback or a safety, everybody wants to be a cornerback. Between a guard, center, or a tackle, everybody wants to be a tackle. Like, whatever group that you're in, there's just a more glamorous version of that position within that group, and obviously everybody wants to do that. But as Kirby Smart just said right there, listen, if you've got a choice between playing running back, which has kind of always been a glamorous position, especially at a place like Georgia that kind of fancies itself as RBU, or a spot like defensive back, which from a perception standpoint might seem a little less glamorous, but the truth is can lead to a long NFL career. Honestly, making the choice to play the less glamorous position could be a long range win for you in terms of what everybody wants to do who plays at the UGA SEC level, which is make big time bucks at the NFL level. Sometimes choosing to play the less glamorous spot might actually be a fairly smart move, which kind of brings you back to Carroll here. I don't know what his long-term future is. I watched a lot of the highlights that he put together as a running back last year at IMG Academy. He seems like the kind of guy that could play that position and play it well. But as I said before, seemingly being at the kind of defensive back spot, which from a perception standpoint is less glamorous than running back, if you've got the kind of athleticism that Carroll has to potentially choose between two positions, that's the kind of spot where you can be really successful. So ultimately, to go back to the question that started all of this, will Georgia now reconsider Carroll as a defensive back now that McIntosh is injured? Assuming it's a short-term injury for McIntosh, that may not be something that Georgia needs to worry about too much with Carroll. And frankly, I kind of want to see this experiment play itself out to see where it goes. I mean, listen, I'm on record on this show years ago saying something that seems pretty foolish now, but maybe didn't seem quite so foolish then. When Georgia spent the 2016 year kind of apprenticing Mecole Hardman at defensive back, giving him a shot to do that, I was on record saying that was an experiment worth going after because if Ed Hardman had been a lockdown cornerback, obviously he'd have been incredibly valuable to UGA. And as it turns out, he's a great wide receiver at the NFL level, so maybe that was an experiment that didn't work out too well. But I didn't have a problem with Georgia doing that with Hardman then, nor do I have a problem with them doing that with Carroll now, even though Kenny McIntosh is going to be a little banged up, it seems, for just a little while. With that said, let me kind of shift gears and go in a completely different direction here for a moment. I also want to go back to something else that Kirby Smart said when he met with reporters a few days ago. At that time, Georgia was just completing its second spring practice, had a couple more since then, including being in full pads over the course of the weekend. So we're kind of really heating up with the, you know, the crucial moments of this early phase of the preparation process for the 2021 Bulldogs. And one of the things that'll be interesting to hear, if we do hear from Kirby Smart again very soon, is if what he said a few days ago continues to kind of ring true even after a few practices, including a practice in full pads. We highlighted one example of this from the SEC Network last week, the notion that right now, because of the continuity year over year with coordinator, quarterback, and so many other areas of this offense, that the offense is ahead of the defense for a moment, and perhaps maybe even setting the tone for Georgia during these spring practices. When asked directly about the quarterbacks, JT Daniels included last week, Smart once again kind of reaffirmed that idea. Let me give you a reminder from Smart from last week.
I mean, they're just light years ahead of where they were. I mean, we didn't have this last year, so I can't even like answer that question because we didn't know anything last year. We didn't know who we were. We had no identity. We didn't even know who JT Daniels was right now. And we're just we're a lot different offensively. I mean, they're doing things that they weren't doing until maybe halfway through the season last year, and they're doing lots of them.
So Smart says that about the quarterbacks, saying that about the wide receivers as well, although acknowledging because there's some cross-training going on that some of these guys are experiencing a little bit of growing pains, Kirby again.
I mean, we got some young wideouts swimming. We've got some experienced wideouts that are still swimming because they're trying to learn multiple positions. You know, last year we weren't able to be very multiple because Jermaine Burton learned one position. We're trying to get Jermaine Burton to know both sides. You know, he was the Z last year. He needs to be the Z and the X. Just so many little things that they're so much further ahead as far as knowledge. And I don't know, since I've been here, it seems like we've had a really experienced defense a couple times, and I feel like we've had a really experienced offense. Maybe that the 1 year when Fromm, it seemed like a lot of the guys were back, but we didn't have our wideouts back. So it's pretty unique to have that much experience on offense. And I mean, it showed for 2 days. We've been behind defensively and been ahead offensively.
As I said before, it'll be interesting to see when Smart speaks again if the defense is kind of catching up to the offense, at least in his mind, based on what he's willing to share. But, like, the one question I have for Kirby on this, and it's hard to know, you know, search your soul and know the answer to stuff like this, but I think as someone who sees what the very best teams in college football have done in recent years in terms of the explosive offenses that have led to national championships, the fact that the offense is ahead of the defense right now for Georgia, at least when Smart spoke a few days ago, to me, ought to be treated as a good thing, given how much big-time passing attacks have aided recent national champions like Alabama last year, LSU the year before. The offense setting the tone for these spring practices ought to be viewed as a good thing. But this is still the SEC. This is still Kirby Smart, who kind of has, you know, grown up with a father who was a great high school coach, grown up around Nick Saban in his own coaching world. And I would imagine there's a little bit of a tough transition in your own mind to view it as a good thing that the group that's setting the tone, that's establishing the rhythm of these practices might be the offense, might be quarterback, might be wide receiver, might be the coordinator on that side of the ball, Todd Monken. But if Georgia's going to join the ranks of the very best teams in college football, there is a degree to which that kind of needs to be true. And thus far, it seems like, at least based on what Smart said the other day, it kind of has been true. We'll see if that continues to be the case as spring practice moves on. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. And glad to have you with us, no matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, podcast platforms all over the place, the Apple Player, the Google Player, Spotify, worldfamousdognation.com. Many of you listening right there on SoundCloud. However you get to us, just really appreciate you being with us here today. Of course, radio normally on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We are preempted there on the Classic City on the radio today. Lady Dogs basketball at noon. Looking forward to that against Drexel. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show today. But no radio for us in Athens. Look forward to being back on Tuesday there. For that, and of course, all of it today brought to you by our friends at Pella Window and Door of Georgia. You know, Pella can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. Such a nice thing to think about this time of year when air conditionings are starting to come on and you want that cool air to stay inside your house, not escaping out. Also, you love the curb appeal improvements that come from better windows and doors. That's a fun thing there as well. It's great value. It's just great aesthetic. It's everything that you want, and it's great savings there as well. Between now and April 1st, you can get 10% off an entire project or no payments, no interest for 12 months. Couple ways for you to get in touch. It's the website PellaofGA.com/DogNation. That ought to be easy to remember. PellaofGA.com/DogNation. That'll get you in touch, or give them a call, 678-638-1496. That's 678-638-1496. That'll get you in touch with Pella Window and Door of Georgia. We're going to get John Stinchcomb here coming up in just a moment. A recap of spring practice up to this point in time. A very interesting look from John at a couple of the key players in the Georgia roster. We will do all of that here coming up in just a moment. Before that, I do want to go around the doghouse because this is actually a very big week for UGA recruiting, or at least the potential is, you hope that it is anyway, because there are a lot of key names who've decided to postpone their decisions because in June it seems like the NCAA is going to open the door for visits to take place and a little bit of return to normalcy for the recruiting process. And a lot of recruits who were thinking about making commitments have decided, no, let me wait on my decision. Let me take a few visits first. One guy, though, who apparently does not feel the need to postpone any longer is the terrific athlete out of Jefferson High School, Malachi Starks, who is commonly thought to be a defensive back at the college level. He is going to make his decision on Thursday. Five-star name, big-time potential get for UGA, but also big-time competition there as well. A lot of folks have thought that Clemson was a major player in all of this for Starks. Starks wouldn't mention the schools by name that he's down to, but when he met with Dog Nation, our buddy Jeff Sintel, and of course Connor Riley was on hand for this too, when he met with him on Sunday at a recruiting event that took place just outside of Atlanta, Starks did say that he's ready to make his decision. Let me just say this real quick about the audio here. This is obviously audio from the field. It was a windy day yesterday. You're going to get some of that wind in here. And, of course, the kind of faint hip-hop music that seems to always be playing in the background at every one of these recruiting events there as well. So this is not perfect audio quality, but I do want to give you a little bit of a teaser of what you can get more of from the full video at DogNation.com. This is Jeff Centel.
I'm excited. You know, it's been a long journey. It's kind of been a crazy ride for me. I'm really excited.
Have you figured this out yet?
I haven't. I thought I did, and then I thought I didn't. I'm really close, but to say I have one school right now, I would be lying.
What are you still? Are you circling among two? Are you circling among all three?
I'm circling among two.
So he says he's down to two. He's excited about making his decision. Really, the full video is worth your time. And for whatever reason, sometimes the wind stuff sounds more pronounced when you play the audio on here than it does when you watch the full video. So if you go to the Dog Nation YouTube page, you can see the full video that Jeff did with Malachi Starks you just heard from there. And great story from Jeff about this at DogNation.com as well. And as I said before, I guess my presumption is the two that Starks is down to is Georgia and Clemson. Obviously talked a little bit about Alabama in this video there as well. And it was really pretty insightful for Starks about kind of, you know, how he feels like he's going to be used. And, you know, he wants to, you know, honor his father with the commitment date that he's making. So it's a pretty insightful interview all the way around. And for Georgia, that is kind of in the midst of a 2021 recruiting cycle that's really heating up, Starks is certainly an example of all that. So make sure you check that out. And by the way, speaking of the Dog Nation YouTube page, boy, if you haven't signed up to become a Dog Nation YouTube subscriber, this is something you're really going to want to do, because in addition to this show each and every day, and I certainly appreciate you tuning in and watching us, as I said, great recruiting stuff with Jeff, Starks from yesterday, all kinds of recruiting stuff going on there, our buddy Mike Griffith, Connor Riley, contributors to the YouTube page as well, all the UGA press conferences from Kirby and Georgia players, it's all there as well. It's the best way to get the most UGA stuff is right there on the Dog Nation YouTube page. If you haven't signed up to be a subscriber, and if you haven't turned on those notifications, make sure you do that today. One of the things you saw on the Dog Nation YouTube page on Friday was the debut of a brand new show. It was Dog Nation Freeze Frame. Incredible analysis from John Stinchcomb on Jordan Davis this past week, but having talked to John a little bit over the weekend, I get the sense the best maybe yet to come in terms of what's coming next on all of that. So let's talk about that so much more with John as spring practice kind of heats up for Georgia and we look to see what's next as Georgia gets ready for G-Day. That and so much more here with John Stinchcomb on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Well, say hello to John Stinchcomb here. Great work, as I said, Dog Nation Freeze Frame from Friday. And we'll talk about that, what's coming up in future weeks on that program. Before that, John, let me just say hello to you. Hope you enjoyed your weekend, and we certainly appreciate you back with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia today.
Hey, good morning. We got Georgia practice and football. The weather's turning into actual spring here in Georgia, and I was able to catch some fish yesterday. So all things are looking up for me, sir. Hope the same for you.
That sounds like a pretty full weekend right there and a pretty good one all the way around. Not quite as good a weekend for Georgia running back Kenny McIntosh. Dog Nation, Mike Griffith has reported that he's going to be out for the rest of spring practice. McIntosh did share a photo of himself with an injured elbow there. And John, what I said before you joined us is a couple of things. First of all, we obviously wish McIntosh well on a speedy recovery, and maybe indeed he will be healthy and ready to go. Certainly not too long from now, at least that's what you hope. But here's the thing about running back depth, John. Normally, over the course of a year, you end up being pretty glad you have it, right? Because this is a position, because of how physical just the job requires you to be, you have injuries there along the way, whether they be contact or whatever else. And in Georgia's case, you know, having some depth to absorb, McIntosh being off the field for a little while, is probably going to end up being a very good thing, is it not?
It is, and it's great for Georgia. It's great for the team. I don't know if it's great for Kenny McIntosh. He's missing out on some reps that are important once you get a room full of guys that are capable, and you know, coaches are trying to figure out what fits. Now, the good news is it's just spring football, and I say just as in, you know, if you're dealing with an injury, if there's something that's personal, of a personal matter that you need to work through or work with rehab, now is a much better time to do it than August. You know, it can be pretty costly if you're in the middle of training camp as compared to spring ball, when you're dealing with something that might last only 2 or 3 weeks. Well, those are important 2 or 3 weeks. I think you look back and think JT Daniels this past year, and the fact that he was still in his rehab and probably wasn't able to compete during training camp the way he wanted to, it's a heck of a lot more significant when it happens that time of year than when it happens in March. So it's a great thing that Georgia still has the depth that they do and the talent that they do. There's not a significant drop-off when you lose a very talented junior running back, and you still have a stable full of guys that include the likes of Zamir and Cook and some of the younger guys like Dijon, and it's a packed room, Milton included. So that's probably also why you're seeing Mauvassier getting reps in other places, just to diversify, and if you've got talented guys, you're trying to find ways to get them on the field. And he's long term probably does project as a running back, but with the returns of Cook and White, there might be opportunities that he can help the team in other places. And once that position opens back up and he's moving up on the depth chart, you can see some movement there as well.
I want to ask you about Carroll in a moment because I'm curious about your opinion on that. But one more thing on McIntosh, the running back situation, before we completely turn the page on that. This is potentially an uninformed opinion, so maybe you'll correct me and tell me I'm wrong. But when I think about offensive positions, I think about offensive linemen needing to play together. There's a chemistry that goes along with that. I feel the same way about wide receivers working with quarterbacks. There's a certain chemistry. We're all watching a lot of basketball right now. Basketball players have to learn how to not just play, but play with their teammates. That's, in my mind, kind of a chemistry sport. I think about, you know, offensive line, wide receiver, quarterback, kind of the same thing. For whatever reason, I've never quite felt the same way about running back. My assumption is that's a position that's a little bit less about chemistry of who you play with and more about just toting the rock and going and getting positive yards. I'm oversimplifying, you know, obviously, but would you say that running back, in terms of if you do miss spring, you're maybe not as far behind because of that as you might be if you're a receiver not getting those reps with a quarterback, or a lineman not getting those reps with the other four guys you might be playing with?
I think that's probably fair. I think if anything, the chemistry needs to occur between the running back and the coordinator. You start seeing plays that you like with specific guys, and you know, not just this is our outside runner, this is our inside runner. There's a lot of different nuanced plays. You know, maybe this guy reads the power better. It's an inside run, but it's more of a man scheme. Or, you know, this player runs better with a lead blocker. He sets up his blocks better. Similar concept, but just the execution and the play sets that you like with a player, I think that just comes with reps. And so if anything, if you're looking for points of chemistry, it probably comes more for a running back with the plays that are called and what really highlights what he does best, as compared to, you know, the most obvious choice there is offensive line. You have to be able to work with one another, and it just takes a number of reps, whereas running back, he's got good vision, he's got good speed, let's create some holes for him, and he can hit it. So I think that's a fair assessment, that running back probably doesn't need the chemistry that a quarterback and a wide receiver does and that offensive line does.
So I said this before you joined us. In light of the McIntosh injury, we were talking about Carroll not playing running back right now, playing defensive back. And I said, if you're a potential SEC running back who has the opportunity to play a different position, that's potentially a good thing for you because you're bringing a rare level of athleticism to that new position. Let's face it, SEC running backs are pretty pristine from the athleticism standpoint. So you're bringing that level of athleticism to a new position, and it's potentially good for Georgia there as well, because once again, you have someone who, you know, at a place like Georgia, there are few positions more premium than what running back has been over the years. A potential running back playing defensive back is, as I said before, that's a pretty nice luxury to have in a program. So I've kind of given my stamp of approval to the experiment of Carroll at defensive back right now. What do you think of those kinds of position switches?
Well, I think it's great because you're trying to get a guy on the field. I mean, if from a team standpoint, you're saying, here's a guy who's got some skills that, you know, is in a position where we've got some returning veterans that have proven themselves, and he probably doesn't have a lot of opportunity there right now. But down the road he will, and until we get down the road, how can we figure out a way to, one, keep him engaged, and two, help this football team? If he brings a skill set to the table that we can utilize, even in a supplementary role, in a complementary role to the other guys we already have in a position, why would we not do that? It's both a selfish and selfless decision. Selfish in that, man, I want to play. I want to get out there. How can I do that? And selfless, if it's not at the primary position where I see myself long-term, how can I help the team right now? And I think it's a great way to get your talented players out on the field. We've seen it in other ways. I mean, most recently, Notori is a guy that, you know, he came in as a guard, but he said, if my team needs me taking some reps at defensive tackle, that's what I do. That's what I will do.
Yeah.
Now, it's probably more translatable at some of your athletic positions. A running back that understands the game and has athletic ability, most high school players play both ways anyway. So he's probably already got reps on the other side of the ball and can translate those skills pretty well.
We're talking about Pro Day just for a moment, and I want to ask you about all the guys that were participating, but I still can't get over the idea that Ben Cleveland ran a 4.85 40. Now, I know he didn't do as many bench press reps as he wanted to, but honestly, had he done 50 bench press reps, I still think the idea of him running a 4.85 40 is still a more amazing athletic feat. Now, the honest truth is, I have no idea how that translates to the NFL world or not. There are not going to be very many moments when he will be running 40 yards on a football field. But, John, Ben is one of the largest guys you could ever be in a room with. He's noticeably big. I mean, shockingly big if you're standing face-to-face with him. The idea that he's running that fast is, to me, a pretty miraculous feat, whether it matters on a football field or not. It's just a source of curiosity more than anything else to me.
It certainly is. I think it's official, and I'm not trying to rain on his parade, because hear me say, I think it came in at like 5.0. 5.0 at his size is still incredible. I mean, this guy is a massive human, and I have been around him, and I've been around a lot of big folks, and he sticks out. I think that's probably why, for one reason or another, he found a way to rip his shirt off in the middle of a pro day to show that he's not a sloppy mid-300s guy, which is a rarity. I mean, for a man his size to move the way he does and look the way he does, he certainly passes the eye test. It reminds me of the old bus team from the Oakland Raiders, where, you know, they're one of the biggest, prettiest teams that they could field. They hop off the bus, and everybody's going to turn their attention to them because, man, they look good on the hoof. And Ben Cleveland certainly is qualifies for that category. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I think we all knew how strong he was. I was certainly impressed by that 40 number. I mean, it shows that he's got the athleticism. Sure, it's straight line running a 40, but, man, that's impressive for a man his size. That was a great day for him. He certainly helped himself.
So just to quickly recap some of the other news that's out there, it certainly seems like Azeez Ojulari didn't do anything to dissuade people from believing that he's a surefire first-round pick. And if anything, Eric Stokes probably helped his cause by running another fast 40 time on his own. I mean, this is a guy that I would think most scouts would have to say has, you know, pretty good game film here. And he backs that up with pretty good numbers at a pro day thing like this. And it seems like Tyson Campbell's kind of right there in the mix there as well. Any other key takeaways that you had from that pro day experience?
Well, Stokes sticks out to me probably the most, just because his game film matches that kind of pro day that he just had. I mean, what an impressive day. You watch his film, it's impressive. You see him on the hoof and see his numbers, his metrics off the field, and they're impressive. So, certainly helped himself. I think Azeez secured his rankings in that mid-first-round guy. I mean, he helped himself. And I felt for Richard LeCount a little bit because we've seen his ability on the field and know his playmaking ability. And, you know, his 40 number for a safety wasn't great. And you wonder if that was still, you know, injury-related, but at the end of the day, he's a football player. You turn on the film and you like what you see. and his potential and what he can bring to the table. But I think across the board, what we saw is Georgia continues to have some of the best athletes in the country. Tyson Campbell's another guy who, he's going to be a pro day warrior, somebody who lights up the metrics category, and at times has combined that with the film, but doesn't have the same pedigree that Eric Stokes has on the field. But if you're a GM or you're a scout, you're going, man, there's a lot to like about just the athlete that he showed himself to be this past week. So a lot of dogs really helped themselves with their pro day.
I saw where Daniel Jeremiah, who I probably respect as much as anybody when it comes to these guys talking about draft stuff on TV, actually on Twitter came to LeCount's defense a little bit that, he still thinks he's a player even though he had a bad pro day. And I imagine for Richard, it's probably nice to have someone like that who does have a pretty big following kind of coming to your aid there in terms of backing up what you did on the football field. And probably frustrating for him, he is not healthy right now. He did have, the unfortunate accident away from the sport. And, I do think it's probably one of those things where if you're LeCount, you're frustrated because you do feel like you've put good stuff on game film. And right now people are talking about things other than that. I have no doubt that's probably a frustrating conversation for someone like LeCount to be a part of. And frankly, there have been Georgia guys over the course of the last couple of years who've kind of dealt with the same thing of, hey, watch what I did on a football field. Let's not talk so much about, kind of the – what was used to say the combine was the underwear Olympics. I mean, let's not do so much of that and talk more about what's happening on the football field. I'm sure that's what LeCount wants to pivot this conversation towards.
And I think he's going to make a really strong case for that. You talk about playing speed, and he wasn't a guy that consistently was out of place deep because, he just didn't have the foot speed. That was not the case. Richard LeCount was a ball hawk, and there's times where you think, man, I don't know if he can make that play, and all of a sudden he's coming down with an interception just off athleticism. So I think his game film speaks volumes as to how he plays the games. There's a lot of guys that are fast, but it just doesn't translate very well. They don't recognize quick enough, and they can't utilize their speed. Sure, they're making up ground in recovery, but they're in recovery. They were out of position and are having to make up for it, whereas LeCount, I think, a number of times was relying on instinct and athleticism and was making plays in the best conference in college athletics. So he's a guy that you turn on the film and you see his playmaking ability, and it doesn't match that 40-yard dash on a single day in March. And you just need to do a little more digging. And you watch him play, and he doesn't play slow, so it's not like you're taking a risk on a lesser athlete at a position where, quite honestly, you need to have speed, and that's what he's exhibited when he plays the game. So I think it's more of an anomaly and not a true accurate description of how he plays the game and the speed at which he plays it.
Last thing before we let you go, we debuted a brand new show Friday, the Dog Nation video channel. It's a little different than some of the stuff we've done before, but a chance for you to show off your analyst hat a bit. We call it Dog Nation Freeze Frame. It's kind of a deep dive, close look at some of the key players on the Georgia roster as they go through spring practice. On Friday's show, we talked about Jordan Davis, and I've made the case that I think that Davis is arguably Georgia's most important player, first of all, because he could have been a first-round pick had he gone into this year's draft, has a chance to even be a better pick than that, top half the first round, possibly in the 2022 draft. And we have a guy like that who had other options, who chose to be a part of what's happening here at UGA. John, in my belief, there's just no doubt that positively contributes to team chemistry. It was fun to hear your thoughts on Davis on Friday, and I look forward to doing a lot more of that kind of stuff with you as we go through the course of the next few weeks.
Yeah, it was fun because Jordan Davis is a fun player. He's a fun player to watch. He's a fun player to listen to during his interviews. And as a Georgia fan, you're excited because he's coming back. And we have witnessed for the past few years what he brings to the run game and run defense for Georgia. And he is a real difference maker, opens up so many opportunities for the guys around him. We were able to go in depth and kind of take some freeze frames that highlight exactly what he brings to the table. And I'm excited because, as you and I have discussed offline, there's a number of players that I'm excited about kind of taking a deeper dive with the fans and looking at what they bring to the table, where their opportunities are, and what this means for this Georgia football team. So it's a neat series. It's part of my world that I really enjoy, which is taking a deeper look into the game and seeing how guys fit into it and how you can scheme around them and for them to highlight what they bring to the table. And it's going to be a neat series for the fans, too, to learn these players a little more and get excited about what they bring to the table.
I don't want to give too much away here, but give me an idea of some of the other players that you're thinking about highlighting in the upcoming weeks.
Well, yeah, on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, Darnell Washington is a guy that I think fans are excited about and seeing what his skill set is and the different ways that Georgia can utilize him. On the other side, somebody like Lewis Seen, yeah, a safety that certainly made a name for himself this past season, but continues to grow and playing alongside Richard LeCount, oddly enough, a guy that we just discussed who's leaving for the NFL and what that transition might mean for him. And then replacing a guy like Azeez Ojulari and looking at how someone like Adam Anderson fits in, what's his skill set, what does he bring to the table, what has he shown so far, and what are the opportunities that he might give defensive coordinator Dan Lanning just based on what we've seen so far. So just three more guys. Five player series. We'll have to keep the fifth under wraps.
There you go.
But certainly there's a number of players that I think we can be excited about and highlight and share with the fans and kind of show what they bring to the table and how Georgia utilizes what they have to offer.
Well, it's a ton of fun to be a part of on Friday. Looking forward to this upcoming Friday there as well. It's 3 p.m. on the Dog Nation video channels. We may even have a couple of special surprises related to that coming up on Friday that we'll tell you more about at that time. John, thank you for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia today. Hope you have a great week. And as I said before, I look forward to seeing you Friday for Dog Nation Freeze Frame and a whole bunch more fun stuff coming down the line after that.
Looking forward to it, BA. Go Dogs.
Good stuff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So, yeah, if you didn't get a chance to see Dog Nation Freeze Frame, it was presented by Kroger on Friday, just go check that out. It's on all the Dog Nation video channels, even on the Dog Nation Instagram page. So become a follower of Dog Nation on Instagram if you haven't. It's only 15 minutes long. We're doing this as a little bit of a shorter show. I don't know if you know this, but I have a tendency to be a little long-winded from time to time. I don't know if I've been – maybe you've noticed that a little bit over the years. This, though, is not that. This is quick. This is a lot of John. This is only a little bit of me. 15 minutes, we're in, we're out. We're doing it very, very fast, very, very quick-paced. It's really, really fun. And so I hope you'll check out Dog Nation Freeze Frame Friday, 3 p.m. We'll tell you more about that as we get closer. Now, in about 5 minutes, I'm also going to make another big announcement because we have another brand new show debuting this week. And I am thrilled about this. I told our podcast audience about this. This was a podcast-only announcement last week, but I'm going to tell the entire world here today. Very fun announcement coming up in just about 5 minutes' time. Looking forward to doing that. Also, SEC Through here in just a moment. Before that, though, quick shout-out to my friends at Merriweather and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Listen, no one likes the thought of the divorce process, whether it be for you, for someone close to you, whatever else. It can be a scary and confusing thing. And the fact of the matter is, even me saying that word here on our show can almost kind of cause you to pump the brakes there for a moment. It's just kind of a shocking word to hear, divorce. But the fact of the matter is, it is a real life thing for many of the people in an audience the size of ours. And while I certainly have sympathy for anyone who's going through that, the one thing I have confidence in is that if you do find yourself in that situation, having a strong advocate on your side is just the most important thing in the world. And I have great, great belief that no one's going to work harder for you, no one's going to fight, you know, more strongly for you, and no one's going to have better expertise to share with you than my friends at Merriweather and Tharp. They're your source for Georgia divorce. You can find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That website, theatlantadivorceteam.com, is a great resource for you because it gets you in touch with them. The first step belongs to you to set up that initial consultation, tell your story to them, and allow them to share feedback with you. And then if divorce is something you truly move on with, then put them to work for you online, theatlantadivorceteam.com, Merriweather and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. So it was a wild weekend in the NCAA tournament over the weekend. And You know, look, you've got all these, like, you know, double-digit seeds advancing to the Sweet 16. Shout out to our friends over at Oral Roberts. Great to see them take down Florida. You better believe we're not done with ORU on today's show. We'll certainly mention them prominently for the Golden Shoe late at the end of the show. But that's not the only big surprise, right? You had not a double-digit seed, but Loyola of Chicago now moving on to the Sweet 16 after knocking off Georgia Tech in the first round and then knocking off one-seeded Illinois. A lot of folks will tell you that Loyola kind of got the short shrift when it comes to their seeding anyway, based on some of their metrics coming into the weekend. But they get it done. They move on the Sweet 16. You have Oregon State, the surprise here, kind of a bid stealer out of the Pac-12, really handled Tennessee easily in round one. They're now moving on the Sweet 16. You have a lot of that from the weekend. And to me, the thing that it reinforces is something that we said in the brief period of time we've talked about basketball in leading to this tournament, is the entire time we were getting ready for March and getting ready for the postseason, I never really heard anyone make a strong case for anyone to win the national championship other than Gonzaga. That Gonzaga was just kind of the darling of the gambling world, darling in the analytics world, and that if you wanted to try to make a strong case for anyone else to win the title, you didn't hear much about that on Baylor, you didn't hear much about that on Michigan or Illinois. I mean, you heard the occasional, you know, little bit of love here and there, but you did not hear a ton of that. So maybe all of the, you know, Syracuse making the Sweet 16 and all the kind of double digits that have moved on to the next round, maybe that's just a reminder of how much parity there is in the sport other than the Zags here at the moment. Of course, Gonzaga does play today. And by the way, you know, I don't know how many of you are like me, but, you know, I coached soccer yesterday. I got baseball practice today. You know, I don't just like live as plugged into the NCAA tournament as I once did. This is a very different schedule for the NCAA tournament this year than it's ever been before. Thankful to have it back, but it's a different version of the sport. This morning, I don't quite think I processed the fact there are so many games today. This is like a regular tournament game. Eight total games today, including starting off at noon, the way that we kind of think of the first round used to start off. You got Oregon, Iowa today, 2-7. I mentioned Gonzaga this afternoon around 2:40 Eastern. Oklahoma in a 1-8 battle there. You got UCLA going at 5:15 this afternoon. Creighton in Ohio. By the way, a lot of folks were on Ohio over Virginia. Another double digit that advances the Bobcats. The pride of Athens, Ohio, gets a chance to go today. Tonight, you've got LSU and Michigan. I like Will Wade's team there. I think that's another potential upset in Colorado, Florida State. So you got a ton of action today. So if you're like me and you spend the weekend chasing around your kids, things like that, you may not be fully aware of the fact that we have loaded tournament action on a Monday today. This is certainly not, I don't believe, happened in my lifetime. And just a very different thing all the way around. So get locked and loaded and get ready to go on that. Let me also give a quick shout out. Speaking of NCAA tournament action, and I wrote about this yesterday at DogNation.com, kind of on the heels of Coach Joni Taylor making an appearance, you know, last week on Dog Nation Daily, that the Lady Dogs against Drexel in the Alamo region there in San Antonio, they get going really just shortly after we'll be off the air here, noon Eastern time for the Lady Dogs out there in the women's tournament there as well. And honestly, you know, I kind of jokingly said, listen, this is a great time to kind of get on the bandwagon. I mean, admittedly, we're obviously football obsessed on this show, and we're thinking about that all the time, but I love having a UGA team involved in, you know, kind of March Madness here. In this case, the ladies' version of March Madness. And I do think that Coach Taylor's got a great personality. She's a great face for Georgia basketball. A ton of fun to have her on the show last week. And honestly, I'm really looking forward to watching this team here this weekend. I'd love nothing more than to see them make that run. It's not the easiest region, but, you know, in comparison to what you could be playing against with like the Stanfords and the Louisvilles and the Arkansas of the world, maybe not as tough as some of the other draws out there as well. So we're rooting on the Lady Dogs. We'll be tuned in to watch them at noon today. We are happily jumping on their bandwagon just in time for the start of March Madness, and we certainly wish them well. Let me do one more thing before we move on here. As promised, let me make a quick announcement. So this is something that I have wanted to do for a long time, and for whatever reason, the timing was just never quite right, but the timing is right now. So a lot of you know that years ago, we were part of some other video channels, the SEC Country video channels, where we talk about more than just Georgia football. We talk about the rest of the SEC, and I'm really looking forward to this upcoming Wednesday kind of reintroducing that. We did something on the SEC Country Channels a few weeks ago related to some news. At this point in time, I honestly forgot what it was. But the point is that obviously that was a great sign for us that there was still a chance to do some of this kind of stuff. So we're going to do a show called SEC Country Live. I'm going to be talking SEC football, not just Georgia. This is a lot like what we do on the SEC through, right? So we'll be talking about what's happening in Alabama as they get going spring practice. LSU got going at the end of last week. This is a chance to look at some Georgia, but a lot of the rest of the SEC. It's Wednesday, 3 p.m. We're going to reintroduce a brand new version of SEC Country Live. So it's SEC Country Live on the YouTube page. It's SEC Country on Facebook. Your chance to talk some SEC with us 3 p.m. this Wednesday. We're going to do it once a week, SEC Country Live. Really, really excited about doing that. Appreciate the graphic showing that off there. It's going to be a ton of fun, so I'll see you. And I'll tell you more about this, about how you find it, because we have obviously gained a lot of folks here over the course of the last couple of years that have never visited us on the SEC Country channels. But we'll talk about more about that. SEC Country on Facebook, SEC Country Online, SEC Country Live on YouTube. We'll see you Wednesday, 3 p.m. for a brand new version of SEC Country Live. Can't wait to do that with you then. All right, as promised, and probably not surprised at this, Oral Roberts pulls off the great victory against Florida. I guess my brand at this point is fully established because I start getting all kinds of messages from folks after that happened. And we had a ton of ORU-themed golden shoe submissions. I want to just shout out one here real quick. Let me throw this on the screen. Tyler Bannister sending this. So the PGA Tour, actually, I don't think it was PGA Tour that did the video, but nonetheless, it was from a PGA Tour video of the gator getting slapped in the water, and the golfer in this case, which I think may have been Justin Thomas back in the day, if memory serves correct. You have the ORU logo on that. Tyler Bannister sharing that. Our buddy Logan Booker had put that out there on Twitter there as well. Gator going in the water, ORU moving on. We'll give everybody involved in that, including our buddy Tyler Bannister, a golden shoe for that. How about Gator Hater Countdown? 222 days from right now. Georgia does it in football as well. Beat those lousy, stinking Gators. We'll see you tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door. And on the podcast, time now for our R.S. Andrews podcast cool down. I'll take your comments. Those of you that have written into the show page there at dognation.com when we post the show each and every day, or for those of you who've hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, a lot of good comments to read here today. So quick shout out to my friends at R.S. Andrews. We'll get right to it. You can find them online for your air conditioning, heating, plumbing, and electric needs. Get your air conditioning tuned back up to factory fresh specs. This is a good time to do that online at rsandrews.com. Bubba Bill wrote in related to what we talked about with Jordan Davis. I said making the case that the Davis could be Georgia's best and most important player. And Bubba says that our quarterback is easily still the most important position. The litmus test is to ask yourself, if we had to lose a player, would you prefer it be JT Daniels or Jordan Davis? Either, he says, would be catastrophic, but which one would have the greatest impact on our season? Hopefully we won't have to answer this question, and both guys will remain healthy, go Dogs. I think that's a pretty interesting point from Bubba Bill on that, and clearly quarterback is the most important position in football. I certainly understand that. But when it comes to Davis's importance right now, I think when you see, and we shared some of this video on the show on Friday, whether it be just the way in which Davis has enjoyed himself at Georgia before, the way that he is seemingly currently enjoying himself at spring practice right now, if we believe spring practice to be a time in which the team comes together, bonds together, as punter Jake Camarda talked about the other day, you know, teams that are close-knit, Camarda says the Georgia coaches believe, are teams that perform better. Because Davis had other options, he could have been a first-round pick potentially in this year's draft. At least that's what we quoted someone from Saturday Down South as saying, or a draft scout was quoted by Saturday Down South as saying. When a guy like that foregoes that chance to come back to Georgia, that's a galvanizing force potentially for the team. So that's my argument in favor of Jordan Davis when it comes to that. Also, from the comment section at dognation.com, I gave a shout-out to the Lady Dogs. I am looking forward to watching them play today. Looking forward to being a part of that bandwagon. And some folks kind of weighing in on that, having a good time with all that there as well. GA Fan 1969, who wrote into the Dog Nation comment section there at dognation.com, says, I enjoy all the Georgia sports teams, and as they do better, I'll become more vocal in support. And I would say that's probably true for me as well. You know, it is really true. I joked about this during the regular show, but I'm pretty busy on the weekends. And I don't mean that to say that I've got the hardest life, but I have a great life. But many of you know what I'm talking about. You're running from like one family event to another, and you're just not able to follow things like you maybe did when you were younger. When I was in my 20s, I was watching sports wall to wall all the time because I didn't have anything else to do. But now the sports that I'm watching is like 9 and 10 year old baseball and 6 year old soccer. And so, you know, like I like the Diamond Dogs a lot, but I didn't watch much of them this weekend. I saw the video of the walk-off on Saturday, and I saw the story we had up at dognation.com, but I didn't see much. I mean, the game on Friday started at 6 p.m. I have a hard time getting settled in and ready to go for some of that kind of stuff. So I do love all the UGA teams, but sometimes you end up following them on kind of a bandwagon type, you know, spirit, because the fact of the matter is it's just really hard to carve out enough time. Football Saturday is during the fall. That's 6 a.m. till midnight. That's hardcore all the way around. But my wife ain't giving me that kind of freedom every other weekend the rest of the year. It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, I'm with a Georgia fan on that one. David also says, I don't have to get on the bandwagon. I stayed on it. I bleed red and black for all Georgia teams. I'm not like some that only pull for the Dogs in football, then the flavor of the month year in basketball or other sports, go Lady Dogs. So David seems to be taking kind of a cross view of people who do kind of get on the bandwagon. But I kind of used bandwagon on purpose in the story that I wrote at dognation.com, and I kind of framed it that way intentionally during the podcast there as well. It is great to be like David and follow the teams closely all the time, and I do believe that there's no reason why Georgia, given its resources, can't be good at all the sports, and obviously a lot of Georgia fans do want that to be the case. But just the fact of the matter is, whether it be because of, you know, time constraints like I mentioned before, or just personal preference, there are a lot of people who just really, really like football and don't really follow much else. And if that's been your story, then I'm not going to chastise you if you don't want to do this, but I will invite you to watch what should be a pretty fun basketball game today at noon. Sick'em Dogs 1 also writes in to say that he also wants to see all sports teams do well at UGA. He says, I've been on the bandwagon over 50 years, and I'll ride it until I'm gone. Go Dogs. Boy, that's great to hear. Woodstock Dog also weighs in to say, how about them Lady Dogs? Hunker down and bring home the title. Yeah, I'd love to see that. That would be a fun thing to see. I mean, a couple years ago when you saw like Mississippi State upset UConn in the women's basketball tournament, I mean, honestly, you get a moment in that tournament every now and then that ends up being really fun to be a part of, and maybe Georgia could be a part of some of that kind of stuff here there as well. Also, from our comment section at dognation.com, Friday show, we talked about Trayvon Walker and the season that he could have this upcoming year. Jim Dogs 85, that's, speaking of other sports teams, that's J-I-M Dogs, not G-Y-M Dogs. But Jim Dogs 85 says that Trayvon Walker needs to have a great season, because if he does, this time next year, he could be getting talked about like Aziz Ojulari as a potential first-round pick. That's exactly right. And just given the size, the specs that Walker has, with all due respect to Ojulari, who would seem to be a fairly bulletproof prospect at this point in time, Trayvon Walker, if he has the right kind of year, the kind of year that Kirby Smart described on Friday's show, Walker could be in an entirely different – I mean, he could be in an entirely different category of draft prospect. He could truly be one of the top players in next year's draft if he has the kind of year this upcoming season that Smart challenged him to on Friday's show. I think that's a good comment from Jim Dogs there. Also, Forestry Dog, and this would have been a great Golden Shoe submission. Maybe we'll do – I get the feeling we may be doing Oral Roberts Golden Shoes for the next 6 months. Forestry Dog has got a great throwback to the movie Caddyshack with Bill Murray. The Cinderella story out of nowhere. The former 15 seed, and instead of Murray's head, it's the Oral Roberts – it's the Oral Roberts logo there. It's in the hole. I can't do a Murray impersonation, but that's good stuff from Forestry Dog. A great, great part of our podcast cool down here today. Forestry, thank you so much for sharing that. Let me get a couple tweets in as well, and we'll get ready to wrap up this edition of the podcast cool down today. Because I said before, we really do try to not make this thing way too long. So hopefully you're enjoying that. A couple things coming in here. Sugar Ray, thank you for the kind words on Twitter. Appreciate that. Thank you to our buddy Lee on Twitter, who gives me a shout out for giving the Lady Dogs a shout out. He said he enjoyed hearing Joni Taylor on the show. Yeah, Coach Taylor was a lot of fun last week. Glad to have her. Dina Pruitt asked a really good question on Twitter. She says whether or not there are any Oral Roberts t-shirts to sell. I got to tell you, I wouldn't mind having some Oral Roberts gear here on the desk. I would not mind that. We may have to look into that. Dina, I think that's a really good idea. Brookhaven, Brookshaven, Curbstomp on Twitter. Looking forward to the Lady Dogs. Can't wait to see that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Our buddy Mad Dog had a good golden shoe for the Oral Roberts there as well. Tyler Bannister actually sent us a couple of good ones. He won today, and he also sent us a couple of other good ones there too. So a lot of really good stuff coming in on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily and everything else. So I appreciate you guys sharing all of that. And thank you for being a part of our R.S. Andrews podcast, Cool Down. Just something we're trying to do, podcast only. As I said before, in addition to your questions and comments, I think we have some other fun surprises we're going to unveil for our podcast, Cool Down, kind of in the weeks ahead. So rolling in a lot of new stuff right now. It's just a fun year to try some new things, fun year to do some things we've never done before, so we're going to keep doing all of that. Y'all check out R.S. Andrews online, rsandrews.com, and hope you have a great day. We will see you back here tomorrow for Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. We'll look forward to talking to you then, everybody.